And Jesus, as we talk through things in the minutes to come, and as we pray for your blessing on Brad and Sandra, as we look at your word, I ask that you would open our hearts to very clearly hear your Spirit's call on our lives. And that, Father, if there are areas that you need to challenge us in, if there are places of surrender, Jesus, that we need to experience, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would have the freedom to do those things in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, you know, every time we come together on a Sunday morning, it's a significant event because the body of Christ gathers to hear from God's word. We gather to pray. We gather to worship. And so when we do that as a community and as a collective body, it's a significant thing. In the life of the church, as we go through these significant Sundays, there are life events that happen, and we recognize them as being special. It might be when we celebrate the birth of a child, or we dedicate a child to Jesus and ask that God would have his way in his or her life. When we experience marriages, that's a significant event, right? And we celebrate as a congregation. Or when we remember the passing of a loved one, someone in our congregation that has died, those are all significant events. In Brad's life, did Brad come back? Brad and Sandra, are they back in here yet? What? They're gone already? There they are. They're in the back. Coming in. Children's church, all that. Brad's experienced several significant events during his time here at Hidden Creek. His licensing and then the whole process of ordination was very significant. It was significant when Sandra came as an intern, and as we saw what God was doing in their lives developed. All of those are significant things. And today is a significant event in the life of our church, and significant in Brad and Sandra's life because today we commission them. We said in the past that when people come to Hidden Creek, we want to embrace them tightly but hold them loosely, because God, for some reason, uses Hidden Creek as a place to people to find healing and then a place for them to launch out into other ministries that he's called them to. And today is a significant event where we recognize that God is doing that in their lives. There's a passage in the book of Acts that talks about Paul near the end of his life being called to go to a new place of ministry. And Scripture says that he called together the elders of the Ephesian church, and he talked about the relationship that he had with them, and that the leaders then followed him down to the dock, and when he was about to get on the ship, they, through tears and weeping, prayed for God's blessing on Paul's life, because they knew that that was the last time they would ever lay eyes on him. Now, I think because of Facebook and easy transportation, we'll probably see Brad and Sandra again, but it's a significant event like that that we're experiencing today, when near the end of this time, just a few minutes from now, we're going to pray and ask God to bless them. You know, when you enter into a relationship with someone, first impressions are super important, aren't they? Back in 2009, I was visiting my sister in Lincoln, Nebraska, and my nephew, Michael, was home for spring break, and he happened to bring his roommate home with him over that spring break time in Nebraska, and his roommate was Brad. And so for a week back in 2009, Brad and I kind of hung out casually. I would see him at meals, and then my sister and her family decided one night they were going to take some friends to Chuck E. Cheese. You know Chuck E. Cheese, right? A place where kids can be kids, or was that Toys R Us? Whatever the place, Chuck E. Cheese. And there was going to be this evening with some of the kids that they knew. Well, Brad and Michael and my brother who was there, my brother and I, we all drove to Chuck E. Cheese, and we got there about 45 minutes before the rest of the party arrived. Now, picture a couple college-age guys, a couple midlife guys, hanging out at Chuck E. Cheese together with nothing to do. And we got our tokens, and we were playing the games thinking, this is really awkward. This is a place where parents should be with kids, and here we are with all these kids. And, you know, we were getting our picture taken together in front of the Chuck E. Cheese little thing, you know. And it was a really awkward moment. But that evening, the kids finally arrived, and everything smoothed out. But as we were driving back, Brad and I began to talk about ministry and what God was doing in his life and what God was doing in the life of Hidden Creek, and the Lord sparked something there. And over time, we corresponded, and the leadership heard about Brad, and he came as our youth intern, but it all began at Chuck E. Cheese. The Lord then called Brad to be our youth pastor. And again, first impressions are pretty important, right? Was transitioning from a mentoring position with working with him, internship and all that, to a boss position. Now, if you've ever been in a lead position like that, you want to make sure that your workers have a strong impression, you know, that there's a little bit of fear instilled in them. And so I took him to a meeting with some other pastors on that first day just to let him know that my credentials were sound. I hung out with other pastors, and now he was one, and I was his boss. And as we were driving across the parking lot of Capitol Mall, we drove past a dumpster. And boy, that's like a garage sale on steroids for me. It was a dumpster, and I said, "Hey, Brad, do you think you could give me a hand?" "Yeah, what do you want to do?" I said, "We're going in the dumpster." And he kind of looked at me. Again, first impressions are important, right? There was a gentle rain falling, and he said, "What do you want me to do?" And I said, "I want you to be on this side of the dumpster and watch for security, because security really doesn't like it when I do this." And so he was fine. He was a team player. And I crawled up on the dumpster and boom, disappeared inside. And then I started pushing stuff out of the dumpster to Brad, and he was loading this great stuff from some store that had gone out of business. And we use some of it to this day in the church. Some of the stands that we have are from that great dumpster excursion. So great first impression, right? And then Brad said, "Here he comes." And I looked over, and the security guard is like walking toward the dumpster. And I crawled up, got on the edge, and when I went to jump, because it was slick, I slid and hit the ground, and my feet went out from under me, and bam, I was flat on my rear. Great first impressions, right? Brad helped me get in the truck, and off we went. Brad is a good sidekick. He is a good accomplice. And so not long after that, I was up in my office, and we have a food storage area downstairs, and I said to someone who was up there, "Okay, have Brad come down in about 5 minutes and get a bag of chips off the big box that's down there." And so she said, "Okay, I'll do that." So I went down, and I crawled into this giant box that we had, and I waited, and I waited. My heart was pounding, and I waited and waited and waited to hear the noise, and the door opened. And then I heard the bag of chips begin to crinkle, and I knew Brad was right there, and I jumped up and went, "Wah!" No response at all. He said, "Hey." And I said, "Hey!" I said, "Did it scare you?" And he said, "No, it made me mad." I know, ah! Now, that was a day that he and I entered on this journey of maturity together. He decided that he would extend grace to me, and I decided to stop hiding out in boxes. One other kind of story, and then we are going to get to some serious stuff here. But I learned that Brad was very sensitive to the Holy Spirit's conviction. And when God was at work in his life, he would wrestle with it, he would chew on it, and then with great conviction, he would act. And early on, before Brad and Sandra were married, Brad lived at an apartment complex not too far from here. And he called me at the end of a day, and he said, "I need to tell you what happened earlier." He said, "I was coming out of the apartment, and there was a guy sitting kind of stretched out in front of his door, the man's door. And he said he was in a lounge chair, and he was wearing a leopard skin Speedo." So you can kind of picture that, right? And he was wearing a leopard skin Speedo, reading a magazine with his big dog laying beside him. And Brad thought, "Tim has got to see this." And so he pulled out his phone, and as he walked by, he took a picture, but he had forgotten to silence his phone. And so right when he walked to this man who was sunning himself, it went, click, and Brad panicked, and he went to his car, and all day long, he just felt super bad. Have you been in a situation like that where you do something not thinking and then it just, boom, conviction? All day long, this was eating at him and eating at him. He deleted the picture. He never sent it to me. And it's funny, I can see it in my mind, even though I never got the picture. But at the end of the day, Because Brad is a man of sensitivity and conviction. He went up to the man's door and knocked on it. That's bravery, right? The man opened the door, and Brad said, "Hey, I need to apologize for something. You don't know me. I just live right down here. And so this morning, I want to apologize for taking the picture of you when you were there in the Speedo. I know I shouldn't have done that, and I've deleted it, and it was wrong. And so I'm asking you to forgive me." And the man said, "What? You did what? Oh, yeah, I took a picture of you when you were in your..." He said, "Oh, I didn't know." And so, but Brad confessed, and he did the right thing anyway. And I did ask permission to tell the story, and so we're all good, right, Brad? All right. So in 1 Timothy, the first chapter, Paul and Timothy had this great relationship. In a lot of ways, Scripture says that Paul had taken Timothy under his wing, and there was this great mentoring and discipling relationship they had. But when you look at the relationship between Paul and Timothy, you see that they were equal in Christ and that they learned from one another. And often when Paul is giving encouragement to Timothy, he's actually acknowledging the good things that he sees at work in Timothy's life. And so I'm going to share just a few things. And know, Brad, that as I say this, I don't see myself as a Paul. I see us as ministry partners, and we can learn from the relationship that Paul and Timothy had. So this is from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9 through 14. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 9 through 14. These are the words of encouragement that he gives to his friend. "Jesus saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. The grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel, I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That's why I'm suffering as I am, and yet this is no cause for shame, because I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. What you've heard from me, Paul says, keep as a pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that has been entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us." God has entrusted Brad and Sandra with great gifts and has called them to service, and they willingly serve wherever God wants them to go. In 2013, Sandra became part of our congregation. And when she came to partner with our nonprofit organization, the Justice and Mercy Foundation, we received a great gift in her. As the early months unfolded, Brad fell in love with Sandra, and Sandra fell in love with Brad. I remember the day when Brad came to me and said, "Hey, I'd kind of like to ask the intern out. Is that okay?" And we had a good talk about his feelings, and he asked her out, and the rest is history. The summer that Brad and Sandra got engaged and you two were married was one of the highlights of our year at Hidden Creek. We saw God take two people from two very different cultures and languages. We saw God knit them together to make them one new family, eager to serve him. And we've been blessed by them. As the years began to roll forward, we watched as Linnea and Analia were born, and we continue to be blessed by the Poost crew. Now, congregation, we have a role to play in this big transition in their life. And you've already done so many things to encourage them. But we have a role to play, and so this is for us. We need to remember the good things that God has done through Brad and Sandra's ministry. We need to remember and be thankful. And as we hold on to those memories, we also need to be willing to release and bless them. And that's what today is all about. In releasing them, this doesn't mean that we're abandoning them, that we're forgetting them, that now they're on their own. our role with them changes. We release them and we bless them, and we commission them and encourage them to lean into Jesus all the days of their lives. Now, there are times in Scripture when people come together and we lay hands on one another. And I want to say just a few things about this because we're going to lay hands on Brad and Sandra in just a few moments. In James chapter 5, Scripture says, if someone is sick, have them call the elders of the church together, anoint them with oil, and you have this sense that the church lays hands on people and prays for healing in their lives with the expectation that God is going to show up and change them, change their situation, right? That's one example we see of laying on of hands. In 2 Timothy 1:6, Paul is again talking to his friend Timothy, and he encourages Timothy to fan into flame the gift that was given to him through the laying on of hands. So there's this sense of healing that takes place and a sense of empowering others with the gifts of the Holy Spirit through the action of physically touching and praying for the individual. Affirmations take place to the individual, enablement and empowerment, and there's a confirmation too, a public confirmation that God is doing new things in these people when we lay hands on them. And then, as I mentioned before, with Paul and his friends, the Ephesian elders, there's a sense of commissioning for mission and service that takes place when we lay hands on someone. Now, this commissioning is kind of a co-missioning. And hold on, wait to bring the kids down. I'll give you a different cue than the one I gave you earlier. Is a co-missioning of them. Now, with the co part, that means us together, right? That we are entering into a new mission with them as they begin their life in Green, Oregon. We are on mission with you as you go. Brad and Sandra, in your backyard, you have a couple of really beautiful butterfly bushes, right? At your invitation, when you weren't home, I went and at the beginning of the summer and I took some cuttings from the butterfly bushes, and I put the stems into pots of soil and put them in my greenhouse. Now, over time, as the roots begin to form, the stems begin to stretch and grow, and leaves begin to develop, and buds appeared. And today, this morning, just in the time that I was gone, the last couple of weeks, I went out this morning, went into the greenhouse, and the stems have bloomed. And there are these beautiful, purple, fragrant flowers that were an extension from your backyard. Brad and Sandra, God has placed you in Olympia, here at Hidden Creek, for His purposes in your life. You were placed in this soil. And God used the lives of the people around you and this place of ministry, a place where your roots for ministry could develop. This is where you were placed. This is where you stretched and you grew. We've seen buds form and we've seen you bloom. You are now ready to be transplanted in new soil for ministry. Sandra, and you can go get the children downstairs now. Thank you for that, for your patience. Sandra, you've taught me a number of very useful words in German. You've made me nonsensically fluent in German. Over the last week in Austria, I was able to use some of the German words that you've taught me. And I don't know if I was accepted, but I was respected. You have taught me words like Hühnchen, which means chicken. It's a great way to start a conversation. You've taught me words like Truthahn, which means turkey. You've taught me words like Fußgänger. Anybody know what Fußgänger means?
Pedestrian.
Those are great words, right? Early on, we took you and some other folks up to Mount Rainier, and the flowers were blooming. And you taught me the phrase, Blumenblühen, And that means the blooming flowers. When I look at you two today and what God has in store for you, truly you are blooming, blooming. You're ready. You're ready for new soil. Jesus has called you to serve. And the timer is running. Jesus has called you to serve, and he's given you a place to serve, a place to live out your lives. Are you guys ready? In just a minute, we're going to pray for Brad and Sandra and Analia and Linnea. And here they come. The Holy Spirit has empowered you and enabled you to be flexible in ministry. As you go to Green, things might play out a lot differently than you expect. But know that that's all a part of God's plan. As we pray and as we lay hands on you, and as we speak words of life and encouragement and blessing over you, know that we're going to pray for healing and wholeness. Brad, Sandra, I'm talking to you guys right now. And it's okay that the rest of the congregation hears this. But in this moment, pastor to pastor, I can tell you that there are days in ministry that are tough. There are things that are said intentionally and unintentionally that cut to the deep places of our lives. And as you go to Green, and as you get to know new people, there will be moments when people innocently will say things that, they devastate your soul. But know that Jesus has called us to be resilient. And as we lay hands on you, we're going to pray for healing. Because it's likely that in the years that you've been here, there have been things that I've said that are scars for you. There are things that we've done as a congregation, maybe unintentionally, the boy you don't have to carry anymore. We want you to begin your new season of ministry fully healed and whole. And so know that when we lay hands, we're asking God to heal you. As we lay hands on you, we're asking that God would empower you and gift you to serve him every day of your life. And with one voice and one heart, we lay hands on you and we co-mission you in your new area of service. So Brad and Sandra and Aaliyah and Linnea, would you come? And just stand right here, and I'm going to ask our shepherding team to come. And we're going to ask God to bless them. Congregation, I'm going to ask us to stand in just a minute, and maybe from where you're at, just stretch out your hand toward them as... There's nothing magical about doing any of this, but laying hands on people is an act of obedience. We trust that God will honor it. And as you stretch out your hand, it's just a way of saying, you know what, I'm engaged. I'm a part of this. I'm praying as others are praying. And if you're a guest with us, we are so glad that you're here, and we encourage you too to pray over them. But thank you, Hidden Creek, for being a family and seeing these things as significant steps of obedience. And so let me read from 2 Timothy chapter 4. Then if a few of you would pray out, I'll close us in just a moment. And just a word, as you're praying for Brad and Sandra, project a little bit. Maybe you'll want to use the microphone, but we're encouraged by the words that you say. And so, congregation, would you stand and maybe just stretch out your hands toward them? in the presence of God and of Jesus, who will judge the living and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They'll turn away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you too, Brad and Sandra, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge the duties of your ministry in the name of Jesus by the power of his Holy Spirit to bring honor to the Father.
Love us through one another, and we thank you for the Poos and what they've added to our congregation, to our relationships, to our growth in knowledge and understanding of who you are. Jesus, you are always with us, no matter where we go, and we just pray that you would be with them in Green, Oregon in a fresh new way, that the Spirit would be awesome and supernatural and a strength of faith that is beyond explanation. We pray for the soil that is there in Green, that their words and their actions and their prayers would fall fresh and grow a great work in your name.
Romans 11:29. For the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. Lord, thank you for the gifts and calling on Brad and Sandra. May they see the light at the end and keep following. And may they further your kingdom in our neighbors to the south. Lord, we're so happy for them. We're so proud of them. Continue to bless them, and may their children take up where they leave off. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Lord, I thank you so much for Brad and Sandra. I thank you for how they have poured into our youth. I pray, Lord, that you would go with them, that you would go before them, that you would be on every side of them, above them, below them, that they would sense your presence, that they would sense your leading. I pray that you would do a mighty work in them and through them in Green, Oregon, Lord. We thank you for how you have allowed them to be here and be a blessing to our lives. And Lord, we just ask that you would go with them and be their strength, and that they were to remember that they have a church family here that loves them deeply. In Jesus' name.
Father, we just want to thank you for the privilege that you have given us in seeing very clearly what you can do. We thank you for Brad and Sandra and for their internships and for their love for one another, for their faithfulness, Lord, to each other and to you, and for their family, Lord, that they have blessed us with great joy just seeing the girls and being with them and watching them enjoy you and watching them dance during worship time. Lord, we see your joy in the poos. And Father, we want to ask you to give them great courage. We want to ask you to help them understand that you are going before them and that they can trust you. And Lord, at times, Holy Spirit, we ask that you would remind them that you do battle for them and that at times they just need to be still and listen and hear what you're saying. And Lord, I just want to ask that Green would be awake now, that they would receive them with great love, that they would be ready for what you have revealed to Brad and Sandra for your vision for their congregation. And I know, there's going to be a hole. But that's our privilege. Our privilege is to watch what you do. And for them, that means going forward and away from us. So we just want to honor you for all that you have done in and through them. And acknowledge, Lord, that you aren't finished, that you have promised you will complete your work. And we trust you for that. We thank you, Lord, for their lives and for their children's lives. Thank you, Jesus.
And so now, in the name of Jesus, for the sake of his kingdom and the message of the gospel, we release you from the ministry that he's called you to here and stand with you as you embrace the good things he has in store for you. May you know the fullness of his healing. May you know the fullness of his love. May the Holy Spirit empower you in new and amazing ways. May his call be affirmed. And may others see his life living in you so much that they can't help but love you and love the Savior. And so I bless your heads as you go. I bless your feet. I bless your hands. And I bless your hearts. And Aaliyah, we love you. And we ask God's blessing on you as you grow. And Linnea, thank you so much for your smiles. Jesus, these are our friends. We hand them over to you in a new way, knowing that you'll go before them, knowing that you've been faithful in the past, and knowing that you'll use them to bring many people to peace with you. In Jesus' name, amen.